Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, and this is the Elite Connections podcast hosted by me, Kieran. This is the podcast that is here to give you tips, tools, and resources that you can use to smash your dating, your romantic, and your sexual goals. Now, today, what I want to talk about is I've got eight rules. Eight key unwavering rules of dating that most men don't know, and if they did, would absolutely transform their dating lives. Let's get to it, starting with number one, which is that a starving man doesn't get fed. Now, what that basically means is this. Let's say we've got a restaurant, right? We've got a fine dining restaurant. In that restaurant, one day, a homeless man walks in. He's homeless, he's stinking, he's got no shoes on his feet are all black and charred with dirt and God knows what. His toenails look disgusting, his hands are covered with all sorts of grime and filth. He goes in there and he's begging for food because he needs to eat. He hasn't eaten in so long and he's scared, he's genuinely worried he's going to die. What are they going to do? They're going to kick him right the hell out. They'll say, get out of our establishment. Boom. However, the next day, Leonardo DiCaprio walks in. Leo is turning up like Leo, his Oscar-winning, multi-millionaire self, looking $1 million, smelling $1 million, decked out in Gucci and Versace and whatever. Leo doesn't need food at all. He doesn't need them to give him anything. But what are they going to do? What do they do when they see that Leo's there? They actually give Leo free food, even though Leo has so much money that he could easily pay for anything he wanted. In fact, he could probably buy the whole menu God knows how many times over. They are giving Leo free food. You know what? This is a fantastic analogy for what life is like. It's like the homeless man would die if he doesn't get food. They're kicking him out of the restaurant. Leo doesn't even need food, but they want Leo in their restaurant. They want Leo in their restaurant so much that it's actually worth it to them to give Leo free food so that everybody sees Leo in the restaurant than to just make him pay, even though he can quite easily afford it. This is what dating is like. And in society, there's this whole belief, a notion, a stereotype, a fantasy that you're going to meet some woman who's going to see you for you despite your very clear flaws. You got so many flaws, but she just doesn't care because she looks past all that. None of that really matters. Even though you're starving, even though every other woman has rejected you, even though you feel like you're on your knees and dying in a way, this person doesn't care, but that's not the way it works. You need to have your crap together. If you want women to want you, you need to be the kind of man that women actually want. It's just as simple as that. A starving dog does not get fed. So when it comes to like dating advice, female dating advice is 100% geared around the idea that you are perfect as you are and you are a complete goddess and there is nothing wrong with you. And the thing is, you can say that to women because the average woman is in a situation where men are coming up to her. She might not have the men that she wants, but she does have men coming up to her. And when you're a woman living in a situation where men come up to you and you're making decisions on which men you want, you can live in a bubble where you believe that you're perfect because you do actually have some kind of feedback that men just naturally want you. You might not be attracting the men that you want, but you can tell yourself that it's a problem with men or that all men are weird or all men are fools or all men are this or all men are that. It's harder for men to tell themselves that same lie. It is. Because when you're a guy and you're sitting down and you're on your own and there is no woman in your bed, who is to blame? What is going on? It's you. The issue is you and you need to level yourself up. And like I said, a starving man doesn't get fed. Women don't care that you're starving. They don't care that you're lonely. They don't care that you're miserable. All they care about is this.
If I get with this man, will it benefit me? Will I have fun, excitement, great sex, access to resources, and a great lifestyle?
Things like that. That's what they want. That's what they care about. Key number two is this. She wants you to be better than her. Now, what does that mean? In the media, you always see this where a man and a woman meet and they're completely like equal. They're on the same level and they're both happy and content with the fact that they're on the same level. But that's not really the way it works in the real world. In the real world, it's actually kind of more like this. So I'm sure you've seen things like 50 Shades of Grey, right? If you haven't, check it out and check out other female written erotic fiction. Now, in 50 Shades of Grey and other female written erotic fiction, something that you always see is you have a woman who's probably somewhat average or slightly above or what have you, and she meets a man and this man eclipses her in probably every way possible. Like, he's a star athlete, or he's a billionaire, or he's a drug lord, he's some sort of massive criminal, and he's in a position of power over the woman. He scares her. They have a very tumultuous relationship, but in the midst of this tumultuous relationship is a strong, powerful sexual attraction, a potent sexual attraction in which he slowly overwhelms her with the overwhelming force of his masculine energy. You will never see stories written for women by other women in which a man and a woman meet and the man is on the same level as the woman or beneath her. You won't see that at all, because that's not what women want. Now, we can argue about why that is. We can say it's genetic. We can say it's societal. I personally suspect it's genetic, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is that it is actually the case. Women want their men to be better than them. For instance, how often do you see a woman with a man who's like a few years older? You got like a girl who's 16 and her boyfriend's 18. You got a woman who's 20 and her boyfriend's 25. You see that all the time. Do you ever see women with men who are shorter than them? No. So if a woman's 5'2", she'll be like 5'5" in heels, and then she'll make sure that she's with a man who's at least 5'8", so that when she's standing next to him, she feels smaller. Why does she want to be smaller than him anyway? Why is it even remotely important? If what I'm saying is wrong, why do women care about being shorter than their men? Why is it so important to them that the man is taller than them that they won't even consider contemplating dating a man who isn't taller? Because they want to feel small. They want to feel like he's bigger, better, badder, stronger, faster, superior in every way. This is literally the reason why if a man and a woman are together and the man loses his job, he has signaled the downfall of their relationship. That's why, because she wants him to be better than her. And if she feels like he's not better than her, then that is terrible in her eyes. That is something that you really need to know about women. Number three is this. This one's going to sound like it's coming out of left field, but it's not, I promise you. On a dating app, you are the entire image. Now, what does that mean? In all my time coaching, I see a lot of guys' online dating profiles, and something that I constantly see again and again and again is men will upload pictures, and it's like a terrible picture, but it's a picture of them. So the picture might be in a poor location. It might not be a cool picture. The image quality itself might be really bad. It might be grainy. It might be just a bad picture. Think of a really high quality image of the Eiffel Tower. And then think of a terrible image that was taken on an iPhone 2. Most men will have the terrible, crappy iPhone 2 version image of the Eiffel Tower rather than the HD 4K DSLR camera version. And the point is this, you are the whole picture. So you're not just the subject in the picture. You're not just the Eiffel Tower. You're also the location around the tower as well. You are also the lighting of the image. You're also the camera angle. You're the composition. You're the people walking by. When a woman is looking at your online dating profile, she's looking at these pictures and she's scanning the entire image and she's asking herself, what kind of man is this and what lifestyle would I be a part of if I got with him? And the simple fact is this, if you've got really grainy, crappy images, she's going to think you're a grainy, crappy person. And you do it too. For instance, when Apple are promoting the next iPhone, or when McDonald's are promoting the next Happy Meal, or Levi's are promoting the next jeans, or Sony is promoting the next PlayStation, they're all going to use high quality images, because they know that you will not take them seriously if you look at their promo artwork and see that it looks like it was taken by an amateur. Your online dating profile is literally you marketing yourself to potential dates. It's no different than McDonald's putting out a billboard poster. It's the same thing. When McDonald's put out a billboard poster, they're looking for potential clients or potential customers. When you put out an online dating profile, you are marketing yourself to potential wives, fuck buddies, girlfriends, whatever. Your pictures need to look fantastic, and you are the entire picture. So even if you're a good looking man, if you're a good looking man in a bad picture, well, that picture has lowered your looks, because as far as a woman is concerned, you're not just the man, you're the whole image. So if the image itself doesn't look good, you don't look good. This is something that men definitely need to remember. The next one is that social media is like your PR wing. What does that mean? Well, going back to the last conversation, just speaking about marketing and things like this, what you need to realize is that your Instagram profile fulfills exactly the same function for you as McDonald's Instagram profile does for them. So let's say you've matched with 15 women over the course of a year and you have them following you on Instagram. Every time you post something, every time you go out and you post a picture of you at the gym or a video of you at the gym, or you're on holiday and you post things that you've done while on holiday or whatever it is, the women who are following you are seeing that and they are thinking to themselves, okay, this is who this man is. This is what I would be a part of if I got to know him. What most men do is most men just go for phone numbers and then they're just reaching out to women like directly, texting them back and forth. But that is literally so 2000. That is so like 20th century. In the 21st century, you need to realize that women need to know who the hell you are and what the hell you're about. We're in the digital age. We're in the age of influencers. We're in the age of frigging social media and hyperconnectivity. 80% of men aren't really doing well in the dating space. It's only the top 20%. And when you're dating women, you have to show them that you are part of that top 20%. Now, if you're not part of the top 20%, your goal has to be to become part of that top 20%. If you think it's unfair that you need to be in the top 20% in order to get women, I see what you're saying, but it is what it is, and you either get into the top 20% or you don't and just accept where you are and stop listening to content like this. Your social media is your PR. So when you go out and you post things, women who see that, they see you and you can make them more attracted to you indirectly, whereas if you just message them back and forth and back and forth, you have to directly message them in order for them to remember who the hell you are. I promise you this. Let's say you meet a woman, however the hell you do, right? You meet two women. You meet two women on exactly the same night. One woman you swap phone numbers with, the other woman follows you on Instagram. If the woman who follows you on Instagram sees you posting things, you can go 2 months without talking to her, 3 months, 4 months, and you can message her at the end of 4 months and she will still respond to your message if she's seen you posting cool things that make you look like a cool guy that she should spend time with. The woman who you just swapped numbers with, if you wait 4 months to message her, she's gonna ghost your message, because by that time she's completely forgotten who you are. She doesn't care about who you are anymore. Bye, Felicia. Instagram, social media in general, it's your PR wing. Just like a business will use its social media to maintain a connection to its target audience and have its audience remember who the hell they are, you do the same thing with your social media as a man as well in the dating marketplace. The next key is that you fail your way to success. What does that mean? Well, I'd like to think it's quite obvious really, but a lot of people don't realize it. A lot of people think that if you fail at something, it means that you're a failure. But that's not really true. If you fail at something, it just means you're one step closer to getting to where you need to be. If we think of like any video game, like, I don't know, if you've played like a Street Fighter or a Mario or a Donkey Kong, a Tetris or whatever the hell heck it is, frigging Skyrim, you play the game and you fail at things. Like you try to pass a boss and the boss beats you and the boss beats you again and again and again. But each time you fail at beating that boss, you get data on what you did wrong and what you now need to do in order to be successful. You fail so much that you reach a point where you just got it and you just know what to do. Dating is exactly the same. So like, let's say you go out on dates and at the end of these dates, these women don't want to know you, they don't want to talk to you, they're not interested in you in any way, shape or form. If you have tried to make them interested in you, if you have tried to kiss them, if you've tried to have a good and successful date, that is a success in and of itself, because now you've actually got data that you can use to learn where you went wrong. Maybe you've been too friendly, maybe you made them feel uncomfortable, maybe you were overbearing, maybe you were pompous and arrogant, maybe. It's the guys who try that get the result in the end. I've been coaching for a long time, and something that I've noticed in the time that I've been coaching is that if I get a client who's just too scared to do anything, or too lazy to do anything, who knows whether he's scared or he's lazy, nothing actually happens. That guy doesn't get anywhere. But it's the client who goes out and he puts in the effort and he puts in the work and he's doing the things that I'm telling him to do. Those are the guys who get results. Those. The guys who aren't afraid to fail. Trust me, I promise you, you fail your way to success. The biggest successes that I've had when it comes to me and dating have been off the back of mega monumental failure. Like times when I was angry because something just went wrong with a girl. It messed up. And I did not know what to do. And I sat down and I thought about it. And then eventually the answer came to me. It's like, oh my God, this is what it is. This is where I was going wrong. This is now what I need to do moving forward. That's what happens as a result of failure. If you are prepared to fail, you're prepared to succeed. If you're too scared to fail, then you're too scared to succeed. There we go. The next key is something I've said earlier, which is that the top men get all the girls. It's very true. Like I said earlier, 80% of women are dating the top 20% of men in society, which then means that the bottom 80% of men are going after the bottom 20% of women. People kind of debate that exact statistic, but the point is that statistic is reflective of what is actually going on. You have to stand out from the pack. Let's just take dating apps as an example. A woman joins a dating app, right? She hops onto Tinder, she hops onto Hinge or whatever. She creates a profile. Even if she's just a pretty average looking woman, she will be inundated with matches. Inundated. She'll look in her profile and she'll see that she's had so many men that want her. So many. Men. The average man creates a profile. He doesn't get anything near that at all. The average man on an app probably needs to swipe for like a week or so in order to get 3, 4, or 5 matches. He really has to try. And the reason for that is because women have so much choice, they only want the tip of the spear men. That's what they want. Something that I see in society a lot, I see this and it just kind of just makes me wonder why people bother. You get guys in red pill spaces that talk about stuff like this and they complain. And they go, women don't know what they want. Women just want this, they want that, they want this, they want that. They want a man who has to be this tall and this much money and this and this and this. And what these guys are doing is like, they're just kind of complaining about it. But all of the complaining in the world doesn't actually change it. Is it fair that average women feel like they're entitled to above average men and that average women will ignore average men? No, it's not. I don't think that's fair at all. Is it fair that a woman can get by and have men who will want her without her putting any effort and any work into improving herself, whereas men can't do the same thing and men have to work on themselves? No. But is it going to change? Probably not. Now, let's say this. Let's say you are 25 years old and you're listening to me talk, right? And let's say that ideally you would like to be settled by the time you're 40. So you've got 15 years of dating inside you, right? Cool. Do you think that what I've just said is going to change in the next 15 years? Probably isn't. How much money would you be willing to bet that at some point within the next 15 years, women collectively are going to stand up and go, oh my God, we've been so harsh to all of these men. Now let's start giving average guys a chance. It's not going to happen. You know it's not going to happen. You wouldn't bet money on it happening. So if you know it's not going to happen, then you've kind of got two choices. You either just get with the program, roll with the punches, level up to where the hell you need to be, or you don't. And you just say, you know what? It is what it is. If I get with someone, I get with someone. If I don't, I don't. I have to accept the fact that I'm not going to get the women that I really want, because the women I really want a man who's better than me. And it is what it is. But this situation is what it is. Is it fair? No. But is it accurate? Yeah, this is the way it is. So just level up. But the thing is, most men aren't actually trying to do it, because most guys are basically complaining like the way you might be, or like other men definitely are. That's what most guys are doing. Most guys are just They get up, they go to work, they come home, they play video games, they go to sleep. Most guys aren't putting in any effort. I mean, if we just use the gym as an example, right? If we assume that you're a very average man, you're 5 out of 10, I guarantee you that if you worked out 5 days a week for a year, you'd be like 6.5 at the end of that year. I guarantee. At least, maybe even a 7. 5 days a week, 365 days in a year, constant solid effort, physical improvement, working on yourself, just in one regard. Boom, you would level yourself up, and then once you have, you would notice a higher quality of matches. You would get higher quality of matches on apps, and as well as having a higher quality of matches, you'll also find that the women that you do match will like you more as well. They would be less likely to ghost you and more likely to turn up to dates and things like that. But that's just one way. You could level yourself up in a bunch of other ways. You can get a better job, you can start a career, you can take up a hobby. There's all sorts of things that you can do and should do. Now, the next one is that you should never, ever, ever expect women to make the first move. You really, really, really shouldn't. Living in society, you will see, especially if you watch TV and see movies, you'll see women making the first move all the time. But to every man who is listening to my words, I want you to tell me this. How many times in your life has a woman actually made the first move on you? How many times have you been out and about and a woman has walked up to you and said, hey, I think you're attractive, I want to talk to you? Or you've been in a conversation with a woman and she's asked for your phone number. Or you've been on a date with a woman and she's asked to kiss you, or she's leaned in for that kiss. Or you've been messaging a woman and she's asked for the date. Or you've been back home at your place and the woman's like tried to have sex with you. It might have happened once or twice, but what's the ratio? It almost never happens, does it? And the point is this. If you think of how frequently you've had women make any effort to get with you in any way, or should I say how infrequently, that should give you an idea of how unlikely it is to happen and how ridiculously stupid and asinine it is to expect it to happen and to live your life that way. So, yeah, women aren't going to make the first move. They don't. If women were going to make the first move, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. This whole podcast is predicated off the notion that women don't make the first move and that as a man, you have to figure out how to do it yourself. We all know this is true, but a lot of us won't actually admit that to ourselves. So I'm actually encouraging you, challenging you, should I say, to admit it to yourself now. Just admit that this is where we are, this is the situation, and that you as a man are going to need to take the first steps. Finally, the absolute last key, the last rule, the last tenet of dating that you need to know as a man is that women want sex just as much as you. And they really, 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 really do. I know it feels like that when you're on a date with them, they could take it or leave it. I know it feels like that, but they do want it as much as you. But the thing is this, it's kind of like, this is how I have worked it out for myself. Couple of things. Number one, while they want it, they have like a list of requirements that have to be met before the thing, sex actually occurs. As in, the man needs to be like this and I need to feel like that. And X, Y, and Z needs to happen. He needs to take me out. He needs to be funny. He needs to be witty. I have to be in the right mood and turned on and blah, blah, blah. Look, there's lots of things that need to happen in order for them to feel comfortable wanting sex, but deep down, they do really, 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 really want it. That's number one. Number two, another thing is that women face massive backlash or risks by being too sexual too soon as well. Everybody listening to this knows that if a woman has too much sex, or more sex than she's supposed to, she's a slut and she's a whore and nobody wants to know it. Everybody knows that. So what I would like to challenge you to do is just imagine if you lived in a world where women were always trying to date and have sex with you, but the more you allowed them to do so, the more everybody hated you. So women are trying to sleep with you. You're attracted to women, so you want to sleep with them too. However, every time you actually let a woman have sex with you, she then, or you're then perceived by society to be less valuable. You're only valuable when you say no and you actively don't do the thing that you want to do and all of these women want to do as well. That would give you some kind of issues about it, and that would cause you to then act in a way around women that kind of conveys to them that you don't really care and that you don't really want it when you actually do, but you just have to act that way because if you don't act that way, they won't respect you. I'm sure you know that you don't respect women who are promiscuous, right? You probably feel that way. So then, yeah, imagine that. You're a woman and you feel like you're not going to be respected if you're seen as being promiscuous. You're going to do everything you can to act like you could take sex or leave it. Like you just don't care, because it's what you have to do. It's what you need to do for survival. And there you go. That has been this episode of the Elite Connections podcast. I do hope that you've enjoyed this. I really do. I really do hope that you've enjoyed it. That's number one. Number two, I want to hear from you as well. I really do. What do you think about this? What do you think about what I've had to say? Leave me a message on SpeakPipe. There's a link in the description. Also, feel free to send in some emails as well. There's a link to that in the description. Thank you for your time. Have a good day and see you next week.